From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. This is Peter Sagal. Honestly, we were going to do a new show based on this week's news, but there's this new reality show on TV in which minor celebrities are asked to serve as Vice President of the United States, and the results are just hilarious. We could not tear ourselves away. So instead, here's a review of some of the best celebrity interviews we've done over the past year. Our interviews are different from the ones you'll see on late-night TV, for example, because those guys do the expected thing and ask questions the guest can answer. That's so 20th century, don't you think? We begin today with Neil Patrick Harris. He rose to fame as a child actor playing Doogie Howser, M.D., yet he seems strangely normal. We began by asking him if he tried, once Doogie Howser was canceled, to shake that goody-two-shoes image.
Yes, I've done a whole slew of made-for-TV telefilms where I was a serial arsonist. I hacked up my parents with a wood maul once. Good times.
Yeah. Really, so how did you get from, gosh, we need a fresh-faced young genius to, we need a psychopath, call Neil Patrick Harris?
I don't know, but I enjoy that aspect of a career.
You also
playing the regular, nice, average guy gets boring. It's fun to play the character roles.
I think of particularly your live theater roles. You played, for example, the very sort of sexually dangerous MC in that Broadway revival of Cabaret.
Of course, that was great.
Oh, I know. But in that situation, your fans can meet you. Did anybody come up to you and they're like, Doogie, how could you?
Some demented ones, yeah. No, the theater's been super helpful too. Doing a TV show is really exciting because lots of people get to see it, but it's a bit limiting because you're only sort of acting from the waist up all the time. So getting a chance to go and do Cabaret where you're stomping around and you'd be so full body with bruises and tattoos and being kind of naughty was really freeing for me at the time.
Yeah, that's why I'm dressed the same way right now.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm just wearing suspenders, no shirt. I've got lipstick on, eyeshadow.
Glitter on your nipples?
You bet. One of your more famous moments was your cameo in the movie Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Yes.
And for people who haven't been lucky enough to see it, these two characters are trying to spend the whole movie trying to get to White Castle. And they're driving through New Jersey, I think. And there is Neil Patrick Harris. And they pick you up, and you're in their car, and you are crazed on ecstasy and desperate. I can't even quote you, of course, because this is public radio, to, shall we say, find some women now. So you're sort of this drug-addled, sex-crazed maniac.
Yeah, I steal
as yourself.
Car and go to a strip club.
Yeah. And now, did they propose this to you? They said, Neil, we want you to be yourself, but you'll be a drug-addled, sex-crazed, maniac lunatic? And you were like, great.
I heard through the grapevine that they'd written this movie and that I was in it and that I had to call my attorneys and make it stop, that it was a bad thing. And I read it and thought it was hilarious. It was...
Oh, really? So really, you first heard about, like, you know, Neil, we have to stop these people. They're defaming you. And you were
A friend was auditioning for a different part in the movie and said, do you know about this movie that you're in?
Well, what was their plan? They hadn't told you about it? Are they just going to hire somebody else to play Neil Patrick Harris?
No, I guess Fred Savage passed. There's a sequel coming out in a couple weeks, actually, where I'm on mushrooms this time.
That's great.
And take them to a house of ill repute.
I got to ask you about this. This is a famous incident in your career about 2 years ago. Some tabloids, some news were spreading rumors that you were gay, and you did this remarkable thing. You basically said to the world, yeah, I am, so what? And became really a hero to a lot of people, gay and straight, all around the world, just for being yourself, when that didn't seem allowed. And I wanted to ask, do you think of yourself as a pioneer in that way, as a hero? Because that's how a lot of people see you.
How dare you bring that up?
Peter, that was a huge mix-up, actually.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry.
I don't know. It was incredibly intense at the time because I was reading all of these things that I was apparently being quoted as saying, and it seemed a little witch-hunty. So I don't know. Well, it was kind of a non-issue to me at the time. And, you know, I had a boyfriend then, and we had been together for a while, so there was no real scandal. And all of a sudden, for me, it felt like my life was very scandalous, and that's what I wanted to avoid.
I got to say, it was kind of in the gay stereotype to say witch hunty. I just want to... I mean, we kind of knew then, I'm just saying. Well, Neil Patrick Harris, we're just delighted to have you with us, and we've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Excuse me, do you have Prince Albert in a can? Yes? Well, then, could you tell me what the heck that is?
It was April Fool's Day this week, of course, which meant we had to endure a series of pranks and gags in the news. For example, Hillary Clinton suggesting that she and Obama settle their nomination battle with a bowling match. Ha-ha. It turns out... that pranks and hoaxes, like everything else, aren't as good as they used to be. This week, we came across a list in the Times of London of the greatest hoaxers in British history. Answer 2 out of 3 questions about these hoaxes correctly. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's hand in marriage.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's big stuff.
And don't get excited, Neil. It's for the listener.
Oh.
Carl, who is Neil Patrick Harris playing for?
Neil is playing for Ben Balser of Gonzales, Louisiana.
Ready to go?
I'm ready. I'm nervous.
All right. Now, this would be cool. You've handled worse than this. Here we go. One of the great pranksters of the 19th century in England was the author Theodore Hook. He was once insulted, or he thought so anyway, by a certain Mrs. Tottenham. So how did he extract his elaborate revenge? Did he A, hire someone to impersonate a cow on her farm, and then shock her into a faint when the cow spoke? B, did he arrange for wagon loads of coal, multiple pianos and shipments of furniture, and the Duke of Gloucester all to arrive at her house on the same day? Or C, did he put on a dress and wig and convince her that he was her long-lost daughter and live with her for a month before revealing the truth?
Wow. So I'm going to say C.
You're going to say C. No, the answer, in fact, was B. It was called the Berners Street Hoax. It was the mother of all, you know, pizza delivery gags. It took Mr. Hook 6 weeks to arrange, but on the same fateful day in 1809, dozens of carts filled with coal, furniture, pianos, pipe organs, and other merchandise showed up in Mrs. Tottenham's house, with payment due, of course. And at the same time, the Duke of Gloucester, the Lord Mayor of London, the Governor of the Bank of England, and the Chairman of the East India Company all showed up as well at the door, expecting to meet somebody equally important.
Wow, that's right. A good one.
You have 2 more chances. Here we go. Mary Toft became briefly famous in the late 18th century in England for her amazing apparent ability to do what? A, give birth to a litter of rabbits. B, converse intelligently with shrubbery. Or C, remove her own head and carry it around in a basket.
I'm going to say C again.
Remove her own head and carry it around in a basket.
Come on, Peter, do me right.
Sadly, the answer was A. She gave birth to a litter of rabbits.
What?
It's true. It's unclear why Mrs. Toft decided to pretend she had given birth to the first rabbit, but the attention she got made her keep doing it. Oh. She produced a total of 17 rabbits, some of them, quote, born under the supervision of some credible, if not particularly observant, physicians.
She must have been sleeping with Harvey.
Well, this is terrible.
Terrible. Well, you have 1 more chance here. Let's see if you can get something right. Another great prankster was Horace DeVere Cole. He was a friend.
Yes.
You know about him? He was a friend of Virginia Woolf's, early 20th century London. He enjoyed a reputation as a rake and a prankster. One of his great pranks was which of these? A, successfully pretending to be the American president Woodrow Wilson and getting a state banquet at the palace out of it. B, giving a group of bald men carefully selected theater tickets so their heads spelled out an obscenity when seen from above. Or creating, this is C, creating a fake fossil mermaid leading to speculation that humans evolved directly from fish.
Last one's boring.
Oh, excuse me, Mo.
I'm trying to help.
Tell me A again.
A was successfully pretending to be the American president Woodrow Wilson and getting a state banquet out of it. Because who knows what he looks like?
Yeah.
All right, I'll say A.
You're going to say A?
The bald thing is so fun.
The bald thing is so funny. Should I say B?
I don't know. It's not up to me.
At this point, just have fun. It doesn't matter.
That's why I'm already wrong.
What do you think?
Good point,
A or B?
I'll
A or
go B. I'm going to go B.
You're going to go B? You're right. That's what he did. They had no idea what was going on, but if you were sitting up in the upper galleries looking down, you were apparently shocked. Carl, how did Neil Patrick Harris do in our quiz?
Neil needed at least two correct answers to win for Ben Balser, but he just had one correct answer.
Well, Neil, I'm sorry. I know, but it was great to have you on the show. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you. I'm thrilled.
Neil Patrick Harris is one of the stars of How I Met Your Mother, which airs Mondays on CBS. You can also see him in the movie Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay. Neil Patrick Harris, thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a great guy. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.